Okay, so let's call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Just a small note on the agenda, it did say end public hearing at the top, which was a copy from last meeting, I take it, so we'll strike that out. First of all, I just want to introduce Lonnie Lindell, our city administrator, is joining us this evening for our meeting, and welcome her.
Thank you.
Thank her for her participation. Also, for Planning Commission, our procedures for this evening, after we get done with our minutes and public comment, we're going to follow Robert's rules, which means we're going to make a motion and a second before we get into our deliberations, so therefore we can handle any amendments or any votes. You can still ask questions or anything else inside the motion. However, we'll just handle it then a little bit better and more by the book. Is that okay with the Planning Commission?
Recommend.
All right. With that, I'll take a motion to approve the minutes for the January 28, 2016 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Lucky, second by Mr. Von Trapp. Are there any changes or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Does anybody from the public wish to speak on something that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll go over to our staff, and before we start our deliberation, are there any updates or things you'd like to notify us about?
Yes, I would just like to note that all of you received your thumb drive with quite a big packet, and that included directions to, and kind of repeated the instructions to the additional information that was in the Dropbox. Thank you. So what we have tonight, the packet did grow, the number of exhibits did grow quite a bit. We are now up to a list of 68 exhibits. And with that, I won't go back through the staff report unless you'd prefer that.
No.
Okay.
Unless anybody else.
Okay, that would be it then.
Thanks for the drive.
You're welcome.
This is still heavy to carry around.
All right. With that, are there any questions for the staff that came up since our last meeting? Then I will entertain a motion, and if someone would be so kind to make one, or I can read one off.
Mr. Chair, before you get into that, I do make a request of staff to provide a report that was being done since 2014 on the environmental effects of the drop town.
I'll respond to that, Mr. Chair. That was included to you with the documents that were provided, that were submitted by staff. It was provided to you on the...
On the drive?
Yeah, those were in the exhibits. There was a number of environmental documents.
I'm sorry. Couldn't open it up.
No, that was provided to the Planning Commission.
Okay. It was page 68. Yeah. Would anybody be able to make a copy?
Sure.
Page or exhibit?
Exhibit 68.
Thank you.
It was at the very end of the packet.
The last
page
one.
Page 104 through 118. Not that I... Sorry. Okay, so we'll get that to you. Any other questions? So then I will make the motion to approve the amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.025 Master Plan Overlay District Regulations and North Bend Municipal Code 18.06.030 Definitions. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So, motion by the chair, second by Commissioner Ryan. Discussions?
I feel like there's a lot of discussion we haven't had yet. And I have to say, and I don't know, whatever the years are, I've never had this much detail of comments and opinions, and some of it very well structured, and some of it very emotional, some of it not relevant, to actually go through and try to understand. And I think the first thing I always fall back on is what's the property owner want to do with his or her property? That's the first thing I look at. And then the second thing is, because of where we are, we have to think of the people around that property when we make decisions. And I don't feel like there's enough information that's ironclad or rather clear that I can put my decision on one direction or the other. There's been conversation about, quote, truck town. That's very simplistic to just put a label on it. There's been traffic concerns. I can actually remember back before the middle school was built. I believe that same space was allocated. King County wanted to put a transitional housing facility there. And the neighbors were up in arms about that concept. Sort of has the same kind of energy. I think if I were a residential property owner out anywhere around that area, any more commercial activity would make me crazy, even if it was another basketball hoop. It's gotten to that place where those two things don't fit together. I don't know what the fix is. Maybe I'm sounding like I'm whining, but I'm not ready to make a decision one way or the other right now.
I thank you very much for your comments.
I echo a lot of the same concerns. I mean, in one regard, this is completely overwhelming. And there's no definitive preference. You know, both sides, in my opinion, make very strong, valid arguments. And I've tried to put myself in both sides of the argument's shoes. I guess some of the words that I still struggle with, and I know that's the main point of contention, is permanent. Some of the discussion from the last hearing was, this seems to be a strategic move, justifiably, to get other parties moving and interested and taking action on this burden that, in this regional burden that we are now faced with and we've been forced to deal with. And a part of me wishes there was more of a gray area that we could suggest or find that it didn't include permanent, but yet at the same time didn't continue this prolonged just putting off. I don't know what it's going to take for me to get to a point where I feel confident one way or the other. It would be nice if there was additional information that we knew what these other parties were going to do.
So let me see if I can, not to cut you off, I'm sorry. If the commission's having trouble, let's think back. Mayor Hearing came to our last meeting, and he read a section of our vision statement, which we aspire to be a premier outdoor recreational city. Is it?
Destination.
Destination. Thank you. As a planning commission, we look at our city's vision, right, as a rural city. We look at statements like that, and it could be something we think is nice. But isn't it our responsibility as the Planning Commission to give the recommendation that fulfills that vision? And in that sense, you have to think about what the zoning is and does it reflect those statements in our vision? You think about employment park zoning in our city. How much zoning do we have available? You think about our total acreage is like 3,900 square acres in the city. If I looked at our land use element, there's 144 acres zoned EP2. We would take another 13 acres away from that. And I ask myself, well, what would the reward be? A parking lot with some restaurants and bathrooms. What else could you do with 13 acres? Microsoft has a building that was built fairly recently. Building 99, it's four stories tall. It was built in 2007 on 8 acres. The building has a net 247,000 square feet. And based on 125 square foot per employee, that means it could bring 1,977 employees to our city. What would that mean for our restaurants, our retailers? You know, think about Genie has 1,600 employees in Redmond. They just built that big assembly plant there. If that moved to that lot, they have 1,600 employees. They have a 208,000 square foot building on 4.79 acres. That could also go there. You think about the level and volume of their sales. What could the B&O tax do for our city? When it's a parking lot with trucks, what exactly is going to be the sales volume? And if we can't get the diesel tax, how are we going to pay for the roads? And who pays for those roads? Because we're going to ask the citizens of North Bend to do those things, in which case we put it as permissible for truck parking. Another thing I looked at is the definition for our employment park zones. Number two under the purpose is implement provisions of the comprehensive plan related to employment park district land uses, including but not limited to providing economic and employment opportunities, as well as balancing property tax bases and possible mixed-use land opportunities. Three, promote high-quality and well-designed business and industrial developments that are harmonious with North Bend's small city character and create an environment free from adverse noise, odors, dust, smoke, air pollution, water pollution, and inappropriate truck traffic or related traffic congestion. Point five, ensure sensitivity to adjacent land uses and the environment, including avoidance of incompatible uses, and that new development is integrated with physical and social linkages to the community. If I look at what the zone is, I don't see how this use is compatible to the zone in our code. So I'll put it back to the commission for further thoughts.
So, sorry. Matt?
Right, okay.
So I was going to say, I think the piece that's missing in that, although that's, I think what you've read is an accurate statement, obviously. It's right out of the book, so to speak. The piece that's missing is this particular property owner has determined from whatever, however, whatever means they've used, that for them, it's the highest and best use for their property. So we have to kind of,
I would ask staff, I don't believe this is a property owner. We're talking about our overlay. There's not a property.
But that's what's caused the conversation.
No, let's clarify it. We need to be really clear here. This is not a quasi-judicial matter where we're considering an application. This is a legislative matter. We're considering a zoning legislation. So we're considering an amendment to our zoning code. And I was going to comment earlier. So if you look at Chapter 2, which is actually the chapter of the North Bend Municipal Code that creates the Planning Commission, it actually has a provision talking about development regulations. And it gives you the criteria for the Planning Commission that I'll read to you, which is the criteria you use in evaluating development regulations. It says the Commission shall prepare development regulations pursuant to applicable laws which are consistent with and implement the city's comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances. So you heard the zoning ordinances. I'd also bring to your attention in the staff report, the transportation element, policy 2.2.7, which we talked about, that talked about looking at alternative locations for truck stops along 18 and I-90 besides North Bend in order to reduce the adverse impacts to North Bend from truck stops. So we're talking about an overlay that doesn't impact just one property owner. And remember, this code change does not impact the existing truck stop. It in no way impacts their ability to remodel, change, make any improvements on their site. It's property outside of the truck stop. It doesn't allow an expansion beyond, so it's property owners around the truck stop, not the existing truck stop. So that's clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ryan, you want to say something?
I'm thinking about what we're giving up by not allowing the freight business to expand in our area, which is obviously wants to be here. It's rare that you have a major business sector wanting to locate, and we're trying to push them out. It doesn't make sense to me. We're having difficulty trying to find property purchasers for the vacant lot we have around.
I'm confused, so, because we don't have specific information about somebody.
But I'm saying it's apparent to me that as a city, we're not doing anything to try to resolve a regional issue. You know, I don't see why we haven't been talking to Dave Reichert, Murray, anybody who will listen to us in terms of getting federal support for what we need here. We can't deny the fact that the freight that comes through I-90, those drivers are they're required to find rest, and they're only allowed at certain places to rest legally. If they park their truck off the side illegally, they're going to get cited. We know that. So they're trying to find a place to rest.
Can I ask you, where did that requirement come from?
It's a federal law.
And if I told you that there's a 56-acre parcel right on Highway 18, wouldn't you think they would maybe want to use that to help solve this problem?
I think you have a problem with the Greenway if you try to get anything in there, and you know that. Gotcha. You know that. I do think the Greenway...
It's a corridor right where trucking happens, between 18 and 90. It's a big enough lot that you can handle the volume of today and tomorrow.
Gary, I'm not saying we shouldn't be trying, but I'm saying it's just not that simple. But I do think we ought to have allies in the Greenway to help us find a resolution to the truck issue in terms of its safety and the hazards it presents to the community. Now, I haven't read this. This is the environmental report or study that we promised to do for the last 2.5 years. So be it. Looks like it's maybe complete. I'm not so sure. I haven't read it, like I said. But, okay, so we have something to base our resolutions on. But why is it that we're trying so hard to deal, not deal fairly with the freight industry as it is? I don't have any interest in the freight industry, but I know that I feel as though it has undertones of what has happened in this valley over the last 30 years in terms of major commercial businesses being systematically leaving because of the inability to do business. And this is another major one. We got rid of rail years ago because we found the truck was more effective, cost effective. They have no place to go now. We can't get rail back here. All those rail lines have been repositioned. So we're left with freight. And yet we have a perfectly well-suited location to expand our freight services, and we're not allowing that to happen. And we're not trying to find ways to do it in ways that are compatible with our future.
Just a quick clarification. In the Puget Sound Regional Council 2040 transportation report, they did express how much load that the rail lines would be taking, because they can't do it all by truck traffic. There certainly isn't the road capacity to handle all that. And I would, you know, certainly I'm an advocate for more increased rails, because the emissions are much lower and the efficiency is much better, and it doesn't congest our roads. But to your point, you know, there is a problem, but is it the city's to solve by themselves?
I'm not suggesting that. But I'm disappointed that the city hasn't done more to reach out to the regional and national interests. You know, I-90 is a major corridor for military traffic. These freeways were all built to provide for the security of our nation, and this I-90 truck stop serves all the freight and all the troops that go through here. We just can't deny that it doesn't exist. It's here, and I don't see why we don't try to take advantage of that rather than push it away. It just bothers
me. I'll let the staff respond to what their efforts have been.
Well, the efforts started even probably before my time. I started here in 2006, and we have spent many, many hours and days reaching out to Washington State Department of Transportation, the State Patrol, the ports, both ports. I know Mayor Ken has specifically worked really close with King County and Kathy Lambert to try to find a kind of a coalition that could take on this regional evaluation of how to address this. We have not found a solid support. We keep kind of running into brick walls, to say. And I think it's also important to note that North Bend isn't opposed to accommodating our fair share of the pie or of this issue, of this use. Like Londie mentioned, this ordinance doesn't inhibit the existing truck stop from improving and potentially reorganizing on-site to potentially provide more truck parking or what have you. But to expand beyond that does start really affecting our ability as a small city to accommodate that extra growth.
Yeah, I think it's clear we're taking more than our fair share for a city that's a little over 6,000 by taking, it's 140 some parking stalls, but they put on about 180 when they're really jammed in there. So we're taking clearly more than we should for a city our size as far as the amount of the regional freight mobility. Commissioner Ryan, I think it's clear that Jen and staff and Mayor Ken have really made an effort to try and get the regional players to the table. Since I've been here, we met with Sheriff Reichert, I think twice, and asked for dough. We're never any success. So we've met with not only Sheriff Reichert, or I guess he likes to be called the congressman now. I always think of him as the sheriff. but with no success. We've met with WashDOT. We've met with the port. We've met with King County. We've met with all the players in Olympia, the various faces that have been down there since I've been here. We tried to get the gas tax. We've tried other things. But I can tell you that I am not as comfortable as maybe Jen is about taking our first share or doing more. And I hear what the commissioner is saying about we need to solve this problem. I don't agree with you. And I will go back to what the citizens of North Bend said following a very comprehensive visioning statement as far as what they wanted to see in their community was maintain the rural character, maintain the small town feel. We want to be the premier outdoor recreational area and promote tourism. Expanding a truck stop, adding more semi-trucks rolling through a town, subsidizing street maintenance for freight mobility is not consistent with the citizens' visioning statement. So I am not in agreement that adopting code amendments that is inconsistent with that visioning statement is consistent with the Planning Commission's mandate to adopt code language that is consistent with the underlying comprehensive plan. So I think we have accepted our portion of what we should do for freight mobility. But to expand beyond that is not what we should be doing for this community, not if we are adopting code language that's consistent with the underlying comp plan. If you want to change the underlying comp plan, then do so, but do it after a significant public participation process. We have not had anyone step up to the plate until council took some definitive action. They adopted regulations to prohibit truck parking along public rights of way. Now there are trucks parked up and down I-90. It has become a problem. And all of a sudden, what are we seeing? We are seeing the state delegate, the federal delegate. People are looking for parking. And I will bet you there will be truck parking within a year or so for truckers because the council finally did something. And there needs to be additional trucking. Mr. Ryan is absolutely right. There is a federal law. There needs to be safe parking there needs to be safe places for truckers to park. But the city of North Bend, a city of 66 or 6,400, should not be solving a federal problem.
A lot of thoughts. And it starts with, I think, what is an emotional one for people that have a long presence in the valley, which is Ken's Truck Town, has some place in their memory. For me, it's particularly special. I was one of many grandkids, and it's one of the few places that I had dinner out, just me and my grandparents. So you start with that, this very visceral sense of wanting to hang on to the things that we've had and the things that connect us to that past. And then I started looking really hard at all of the information we were sent and what we were being asked to do. And my biggest concern was, are we actually telling them they can't do anything on that property? And we're not. I mean, there are standard rules in place that apply to anybody, that if you're going to do improvements, you've got to bring things up to code. That's a public safety thing. But it protects that space. What we're looking at is, should we be expanding that here? And I may be the only one who went through everything in the Dropbox, though I printed a list and then found the original source documents online. And one of the things that struck me as I was reading that was the specific issue that this Washington Freight Mobility that we keep hearing about, that plan, there was not even a full page that was about trucker safety and truck parking. And that, not even a whole page. And the safety issue was not about safety of truckers, which we've heard a great deal about. And I know that we've talked about, as we've discussed off and on, the trucks lining the road and concern for the truckers that were walking along I-90 at night or parked along the road at night. That's something that's come up in here many times. But it just surprised me that there was nothing in there. But it does talk about two things. There was a 2005 study and a 2008 study. So being the obsessive compulsive person I am, I read those too. And what really surprised me about that is we really weren't high on the list of what they were worried about. They actually got a great response. They had 473 drivers, and I think it was 95 truck companies that responded to that. And of that, most of them said that they needed somewhere in the Seattle and Tacoma areas. They haven't done a study since 2008. Where they actually talk to truckers. So when I start looking at that, I start to think, because, hey, we're this little city, you know, how much money do they have to throw at this problem? So nice little, you know, accesswa.gov, hit their little search function and look for the budget. It had like $31,000 in the most recent budget that I could find that was assigned to the Washington Freight Mobility Board. And then I thought about our budget. And I went, okay, my concern, my emotional concern about this place that I have memories about and that have been part of the fabric of our community, we're not talking about taking that away. We're talking about, is it appropriate for us at this time, without there being a plan in place at a higher level, to take on more? And that's about being responsible to the citizens of North Bend. Do we want to ask them to pay more taxes because our roads are falling apart because of increased traffic that is not actually, you know, they're in and out? We might have some retail money coming in. You know, it just, in looking at it, and reading through everything, all of those documents, convinced me that this is not a North Bend problem. Why isn't anyone else stepping up? I mean, they say it in their own studies. I mean, they finished it in 2014, but they say it in their own study that they need to be looking for these spaces, and they're identifying spaces. And, you know, why North Bend? Why is it our problem? Is what I kept coming back for. So my own emotional concern taken care of. You know. But in looking at that, we're not in a place right now, and there is not a plan in place to address everywhere. I mean, I-5 corridor was the one that they kept talking about needing the most. just because we have land that might be cheaper, does that mean that we get more of the burden? And that's kind of where I ended up going with it. I'm not concerned, not as concerned about the environmental impact when I look at that. I'm sure it's there. I mean, there, we had a bunch of it in the paperwork that we read through where people were talking about diesel, the effect of fumes. But for me, it came down to, is it our responsibility to pay for it? And does it fit for us to become the truck stop town on I-90?
Thank you.
Commissioner Heller?
Yes, I agree. This is an intense and emotional concern. And I did read through all the comments. It took quite a while, but you know, after looking through it all, I support the amendment. I don't think it's a good location for an additional truck stop. I think that, like I said, it is a need, as we've expressed tonight. Concerns that came up: stormwater runoff, air pollution, noise pollution, light pollution, traffic concerns. They're in the process of paving the Middle Fork Road, a gateway to our you know, our outdoor recreation mecca, really. And I just don't think a truck stop will fit in there. You know, there's there were some comments that talked about how it's like way outside downtown or something, and really it could have been perceived that way in the past, and maybe it's still a little bit now, but if you look at the way that when it will be when it's built out, it won't be like way far out or anything. So I think this truck stop will not fit in the residential, possibly a hotel, maybe a brew pub, who knows what's going to go in there. But a huge truck stop will be unsafe and not really fit. And there's a school nearby as well, very close. And again, North Bend shouldn't solve you know, a regional problem. Someone's comment in the comments was that about trucks leaving Truck Town and then going east on North Bend Way, going very slow. And I've experienced that. Trucks exiting and just not really aware at all of that anyone may be. I mean, it's a 50-mile-an-hour road, which was the comment. And it doesn't need to be that fast, but even if you're going 40, you're going to encounter a truck like 5 miles an hour. I mean, that's just not appropriate. And so you can just assume that any traffic problems that exist will only get worse with a larger truck stop. And one other point that was interesting, it was Exhibit 6. I don't know Joe LaForme, but he made a comment that truckers need to plan their stops ahead of time. You know, watch the weather, be aware of past closures, be proactive, look at WS.websites, look at the apps, communicate with other truckers, be aware that parking in North Bend is limited, call ahead, carry food and water. It was just something to where I read a lot of the comments and hearing, like, it's going to be on you, North Bend, you know, someone dies. And, you know, it's really the responsibility of the trucker to kind of take responsibility for themselves. So, well, that's just my opinion on that. I guess I could end with a question, and there was comments about if there is a past closure that truckers can park in on city streets or along North Bend Way, you know, where I was referencing. How do they know that?
So, actually, on the signage, the very large sign, not the little sign, but there is, I think, a paren. I think I looked at the big, so we have a big, huge sign that cites, I think, North Bend Municipal Code, Chapter 18, something. There's a paren, but also our police officers go out there with the state patrol. They coordinate it, so we're actually bringing the truckers in, and we actually line them up both rows, and then we've actually put them down the center line before. So part of it is we're just telling them where to park, so we kind of start lining them up. So it's a combination of we're doing this, we're telling them where to go when they're coming in. But it's,
if we want to be serious about that, you know, there's something on the sign itself.
It's actually probably more that the cops are out there directing everybody coming off the ramps when it's happening, and you'll see them. I mean, it's with the past closures that you probably experienced, because there was a ton of them this year, I mean, I came home a couple of late nights where literally they were parked throughout town, up at the truck stop, and then they were lined up all the way to Issaquah. All the way to Issaquah. So, I mean, even if, because I think it's 6,500 to, it used to be 6,500, but didn't someone tell me it's over 12,000 a day now? The 12,000?
No, I think it's 12,000.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we paved over all of North Bend. There's not enough spots. If there's a closure, there are not enough spots. And we could fill up every ounce of pavement throughout North Bend, and there will not be enough spots for the truckers to park in a
closure. As the Puget Sound Cities Association had a look at this.
You mean the Sound Cities Association? Yeah, you know, what everybody says is it's not our problem. The trucking industry says it's not our problem. The Port of Seattle says it's the trucking industry. WashDOT says it's a for-profit business. It's the trucking industry. So it's mostly this.
But have they looked at it? Have they decided not to look at it?
Yeah, the Sound Cities, they don't have an interest in it. I mean, WashDOT recognizes they have a role in it, I believe, now that they're on I-90. So they're starting to wake up.
There's been no support from the Sound Cities on this.
Not at all.
Quite a few times.
Not at all.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Lucky?
I say the same thing I said before, but I'll add every problem is an opportunity. And one of the greatest frustrations I have with this approach, we seem to have been forced into a stop, say no circumstance, as opposed to let's evaluate and create an opportunity to say yes. I don't know exactly the process to get there, but that's the piece that's rubbing me most the wrong way. And my earlier comments were not about a specific property necessarily. It's just any property where the owner says, I'd like to put up a flagpole. I'd like to build a treehouse. I'd like to put in a truck stop. That's the person we should be paying attention to first, in my opinion. So there's got to be a way, given all the emotion, and I get it too, and all of the focus, as we should, on the surrounding area, including the rest of the town, there ought to be a way to get to the, how can we make this work? It might be rest stops expanded from where they are, somewhere else on I-90. It might be reflect on, where did these trucks go prior to the closing of the last port facility, or the reduction, when Federal Way, whatever that scenario that's been reduced over the years. So, I don't know if I can go yes or no on our vote tonight.
I hear exactly what you're saying. And all those questions, I go, but we're the North Bend City Planning Commission. And so, yes, those discussions should happen. But what can we do, you know, in that respect? I'm not a longtime resident like Elizabeth. But since 2003, I know part of this Tanner Overlay area, which has been vacant, you know, was wooded, what used to be a sawmill at one point on that property. So if I thought about a sawmill, that's kind of part of North Bend's history and our charm, and, you know, that would be a great use. But it was urban reserve after that, when in 2004 it was rezoned, and it was commercial at that point before it was annexed into the city. So through that process, all the surrounding residents, there wasn't a uproar or concern. This change, when it was put into the city, happened in 2011, and there was citizen comment against it. So when we're thinking about, you know, the history and rights of the property owner, it's not something that's been a long-standing provision for this overlay to have 12 acres used as truck parking.
12 or 30?
12.5.
Thank you.
Of the total overlay.
and a point of clarity for the chair. While this has been my official residence since the day I was born, I actually didn't move here until 1996. Army brat, so I was back a lot as I grew up, but to be fully honest, before I say this, I want to apologize to anyone in the room that happens to smoke. This is not intended to be a judgmental thing. But in trying to explain this to someone on another issue about why things change, they're asking a general question about why things change. I had just been looking at a picture of an ashtray that my grandpa brought back from serving in Germany. So it was the top of mind thing. It used to be that you could be in an office and your coworker could be sitting next to you and smoking a cigarette. It's totally okay. And it totally worked. You would never see that today. And that's a very simplistic explanation for how things sometimes change. And what may have been completely appropriate at one time no longer works for the specific situation. There are things we know now that we didn't know then. And in my long rambles, one of the things I looked up was the varying populations of the state of Washington, because I'm an absolute geek sometimes when I'm trying to figure things out in my brain. And in 1941, population of the state was 1.789 million. According to the U.S. Census. In 91, which happens to be, I think that's when I came back to the States, it was 5.026 million. Bit of a jump. But according to the Seattle Times, at least, as of April 2015, we were up over 7 million. So things change. And we see a higher volume of everything. And the question becomes, what do we do to preserve what we have? And while I have these great memories of Kinstrucktown, and I'm hoping that it's there forever in my own personal heart, having a larger facility there probably doesn't work for a small town. Kind of where I am on that. How to put it? I think that everyone in this room is here because they see that they can make an impact on the world that's around them. The people that have joined us to share their thoughts are trying to make an impact on the community around them. So we see a bigger problem, like this issue of the freight mobility for the entire state of Washington, and how to keep the guys who actually get it where it needs to go safe. We see that and we want to fix it. But that's not what we do, aside from being loud and making it difficult and forcing the people that have the power to do those things, to do their jobs.
I love your ashtray story.
Hey, I'm trying to get my uncle to send it to me.
I still identify with that.
Hey, for unit cohesiveness, they used to print them with their the transportation company that he was in that no longer exists.
You could smoke a cigar on an airplane.
Yeah.
I really needed to hear what all our commissioners have been saying here, because I'm clearly having a problem excusing the freight industry from our town. But I do think because we're suffering from this problem, we're in the best position to help find a solution for it by getting parties together, by getting important parties into the room and meeting in our little town and trying to find a solution, a regional solution, where these drivers are going to be going to. You know, we're totally dependent upon truckers to deliver locally and internationally, or nationally, maybe not internationally, but nationally. And I've had truckers in my family, short and long haul. And I, they're all gone now. So I'm not knowing that. I'm simply saying that we can handle 6,000 loads a day, much less 500 loads a day. So we seem to have a particular opportunity here to help people find a solution, because we're hurting from this, the situation we're being faced with. See, I would like to build the freight industry in this town. They don't want to be here. I'd like to find a way to let it happen rather than find a way to help move down the road. And so people who came before me have stated their position and have created a plan that doesn't include a large freight industry. And I think it's, in my mind, we're losing an opportunity to grow our economy by not accepting the industry here in some way, shape, or form, at least. Maybe not your truck resting in operations, but certainly refueling, whatever it takes to get them down the road, let them stop in here. So I see there's an opportunity, but I would like for us to become more involved. What I find very, very disconnected from is that we're trying to just put ourselves out of the problem. I think we're in it. We need to be bringing the answers to the table. We know what our problems are, what's causing them, and we need to help the freight community find a way to work themselves through this town in a way that is useful. And so, not just shut the off-ramps off.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, and maybe this is something where we need to lobby to our Economic Development Commission and, you know, think about talking to people at Nintendo. If they have so much warehouse space empty, why can't we, you know, use that extra land for, you know, a truck center? Think about, you know, the possibilities of where it should get sited, but not just in our city. When you think about all the efforts from this city or from an individual's point of view, it hasn't worked. And I don't know what it's going to take to work. When I talked to the freight mobility director, the former director, Barbara Ivanoff, and she told me that they had no locations to go to, that they had nothing that they were looking at, that they looked to me as possible suggestions. And, you know, that's just a disappointment when we have our state traffic authority trying to do something. We have a federal highway where we don't have our U.S. representatives responsible for instituting legislation and not providing rest stops and a suitable site for these trucks to shut down. We have trucks that in 19-whatever, when California enacted their clean air laws, hundreds of thousands or 100,000 some odd trucks from California came to our state because they could no longer register in California because they couldn't pass emissions. So we have dirtier trucks in our state than what most other states have. And you're asking those to come where there's a school, where there's people who walk back and forth to school. So, you know, you think about the area. You talked, Commissioner Heller, about the Middle Fork. Think how busy Mount Si is. It's got its few trails. Down the road is Mount Taranoff and Kamikaze Falls. Great. Middle Fork is building 10 new trails. There's approximately 1,500 miles of all trails throughout the area. There's a campground with 39 sites. Wildlife in the area is mountain goats, coyotes, pine marten, migratory birds. There's something called the Alpine Lakes Wilderness that you can get through the Middle Fork. It's 394,000 acres. The Mount Baker Snoqualmie National Forest. You know, if you go to our, what is it, the U.S. Forest Department website, to get to these areas, it says getting there from Interstate 5 north going towards Seattle, take Interstate 90 east towards North Bend, take exit 34 and turn north on 468th Avenue, turn right onto Southeast Middle Fork Road, and continue about 12 miles. Do we want that to be the truck mecca, or is it describing those sensitive areas? Some of my neighbors call it the Alps, you know, whatever you think of it as. Does it fit in this location? Because that is our question. Is this overlay right for 12 acres of parking or not?
I think the thing that's helped me the most tonight is Ms. Lindell's kind of reorientation to what is our role in this giant issue. And then the clarification on, with that to the vision statement. So you know, that helps me see through all of this because, like I said, it's overwhelming. And what's overwhelming is what is our role? I think what I've come to realize is our role is kicking the big guy in the shins and making him do something while protecting what we have here. So I appreciate the input that's helped me get to that point.
Any other thoughts you want to share? Any final statements?
The only other thing I would say is looking at this chapter 2.28.050 under development regulations and the commission role, as hard as it is to say this, and because it is not an application, the commission's role, I know you need to consider what an applicant wants to do with their property, but that is not part of your criteria. And nowhere in here does it say that in making your decision, you need to defer to what the applicant wants to do with their property. Your decision is based on how that code amendment, how it supports the provisions of the comprehensive plan or the existing zoning code and applicable state law, Growth Management Act, comprehensive plan. And those provisions are in here, and those are the ones we talked about that talked about a comprehensive plan that seeks to locate additional truck parking outside of North Bend along the I-90 and 18 corridor in other locations, and a vision that talks about growing recreational resources and also small town character and rural character. Thank you.
I'll just say voting in favor does not mean a vote against trucking to me. Does not mean work is done, at least for me. Doesn't mean we've solved the problem or the industry needs are even close to being met. It doesn't mean we have a lack of concern or care for the 6,000 or more daily I-90 truck drivers. Doesn't mean that we don't appreciate their services and what they do for our community. It's a reflection that our city of about 6,400 residents cannot take on the increasing need alone for a region of more than 2 million people, countless businesses, and the two ports. With that, are you ready for the question?
Well said, Mr. Chair. Call the question.
Okay, the motion before you is to approve the amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.025 Master Plan Overlay District Regulations and North Bend Municipal Code 18.06.030 Definitions. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those?
Aye.
Sorry. All those opposed say no.
Would you read that again, please?
The motion before you is to approve the amendments to North Bend Municipal. Did I go too fast? I'm sorry. Approve the amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.10.025 Master Plan Overlay District Regulations and North Bend Municipal Code 18.06.030 Definitions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Abstentions? Okay. Opinion of the chair that the motion is approved. Next on the agenda is administrative or good of the order. I have a question for the staff. In our comment packet, I noticed some posts from social media. Living Snoqualmie site. Do we want to include social media in the future? I found it a good read, and it's nice to have comments, but I would prefer comments come only through our official.
Sorry, back up. What's the root of this?
In our packet, it looked like we had posts from social media sites.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That was through a comment that was provided to the city.
Oh, so they copied
all the stuff. Yeah, so it all came through. Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry, I was not following that.
If I could comment on that, I'm conflicted on that. Because the reality is that social media information is out there, and it's difficult to avoid at times. And I think it's important to see. But I do have a concern when it's submitted by someone else within their comment, because the individuals who made those comments, yep, while they were made in what could be considered a public forum, did not explicitly, yep, agree to have that information shared. And in particular, if it comes from a closed site, Facebook has a number of these where it's limited membership. So it's kind of, it goes twofold of how we handle those, because I think there's no question that it gives us access to more opinion from the community when we're making decisions on a topic of interest. But I do get concerned that someone's comment is going to be included that has no desire to have that part of it.
I think a good way of handling it is if the person hasn't, if it is a comment that has not been made by a person, or that it wasn't a dialogue where they were involved in it, like a chat, we can simply respond and say, we will not be including this in the record unless we receive confirmation from, you know, Mary Sue that she... Yeah, that's not appropriate. Don't make those comments in a public meeting, please. Yeah, but simply that, you know, get them to acquiesce to that they're okay, and then we'll include it in the public record. Otherwise, we won't.
Yeah.
So it'll be up to them to get, yeah, that confirmation.
So to address something that I think might be of interest, if they include in,
you know,
their,
sir, comment, if you're going to make those kind of public comments, you need to step out of the room now, or I will call 911.
Which I did.
No, that is totally inappropriate.
To address what might be a concern, mm-hmm, if in those comment strings, if people include that they are willing to have that information shared, could we then include it? That, because that may address some of the concerns that will arise.
I mean, I would actually maybe take this, mm-hmm, input, and maybe we can talk about it, because it is now we're filtering.
Right.
And my only fear on that is when you're building a record, and if we make a mistake in filtering some comment in or out, or even,
right,
so maybe we want to think about this, and
yeah, we can talk about it, but I do, I mean,
I just, there are a lot of people I think who comment on closed groups in particular, where it is not, it's not a public comment on something that's accessible to everybody in the public, that may not want those included. And I guess that was my concern when I saw those.
Information
is good for us to see in terms of getting people's opinions, my concern is what is our responsibility to those individuals to protect what they might have thought was private commentary.
Yeah, the reason why I said maybe let us think about what's the easiest way to administer that, because it might be as simple as the notice goes out that says, please provide your comment to the city, blah, 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 and it shall not include any social media that is not from your you in, as an individual.
It
something like
from,
that. So we can
you
handle it. It's just,
right,
about how we
a,
do it.
Yeah. Mistake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Must,
yeah,
be from you or otherwise authorized.
Right. I think that might be the way we do it. But
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any news on the construction or grading of the Tanner Pit, and if they're done mining?
You know what? I can get you an update for sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Along that line, what's the status of the construction for the hotel side?
The hotel's been buttoned up for the winter, basically. So we're expecting activity to start again in the spring.
What I've seen, it looks like it's good work. It's an improvement from prior operational to
going
on there.
Yeah.
I'll show you on the map. With that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Lecky, second by Mr. Chap. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
We are adjourned. It's like 8:01.
Impressive.
Thank you for your
difficult issue.
2 minutes.
Curtis, did you second?
Yes. Came to me one day. That's why I write things down. Eventually.